very quiet and nervous when I'm doing this. It's very difficult for me. Anyway, the Torah, Yud Gimel, that's a parak in our parasha. It says as follows: Et kol ha'davar asher anochi mitzaveh etchem, et kol ha'davar. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying something beyond what he said up to now. Up to now, he said you have to do the mitzvot, you have to avoid the transgression. Right? That's what he said. Now he's saying something else. Et kol ha'davar asher anochi mitzaveh etchem oto tishmeru la'atzot. He says, kol hadavar, all these things that I'm telling you to do, which I'm commanding you to do, oto tishmerun la'asot, you have to watch over them. You have to be careful about them. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Lo tosif Allah, lo tigra mimenu. Don't add to them, don't subtract. Rashi explains it, kol hadavar, what is the cumulative notion here? It is pasuk kalak hamura. We don't divide up the mitzvot necessarily in that way, but according to Rashi, there are such a division is possible. You can say that kalak.
It's not there. But
what? Mitzvah kalak means the punishment is not so severe. And that's kalak hamura. Hamura means the punishment is more severe. That's how you know the distinction. But we don't do that so much. So anyway, here's Rashi. Second Rashi. It's actually with Ezra's help, it always works. Kalak hamura. You see the Rashi. Tishberu la'asot. Tishmeru la'asot. So Rashi points out to us that this additional phrase, right, Tishmeru la'asot, that's what Rashi tells us all the time. You have to watch over it. You have to keep it. You have to. What is Tishmeru la'asot? What is this extra phrase about? So Rashi says, "Litein lo ta'asei al asei amurim b'parasha." That in the Torah, in the parasha, it says, "Do this. Do that. Do." Like a whole list of things that you should do. Litain lota say the word tishmeru, watch it, be careful about it, is a kind of a extra negative that you are transgressing if you do any of the things in the parasha. Shekol hashishamer, every time that word shin mem resh, that word, watch it. Lishon lo tasehu. Chazal pointed this out. This is not Rashi's idea, but Rashi is bringing it into our way of thinking about things. Ela al she'en lo kida al yishoy. So of course you ask the question. If you're learning, you ask the question. What's the difference? What's the difference between a pasuk that says lo, don't do it, and another pasuk that says hishamer? So he says. If you only transgressed Hishamer, you don't get Malchus. We know that if you transgress the law itself, you do get Malchus, right? You're beaten as a punishment. Then the Pasuk ends with this kind of law. Lo tosef alav velo tigra mimenu, which is understood generally, don't add anything to the Torah, and don't subtract anything from the Torah. Now we know that we don't pay attention to that prohibition. We add to the Torah all the time. We add things that are not written in the Torah. If the standard is what's written in the Torah, well, we don't follow that standard. Maybe we don't follow that standard at all. So Rashi says, lo tosef alav. What does that mean? Don't add. Chamisha totafot bitfilim. You can't say there are five parshiyot in the tefillin. Or chamisha minim bilulav, or five different kinds of grasses in a lulav. Or arba'a brachot the Birkat Kohanim, or that there are four, we could add a pasuk to Birkat Kohanim. So what Rashi is saying is that whenever the Torah tells us a numerical cap, that there's a numerical cap for certain mitzvot, we can't add and we can't subtract from that numerical code. In other words, what Rashi has done is limited tremendously the notion of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra from what it might have been. It might have been something, you know, remarkable. But Rashi says that it's put in here, it's in this pasuk, because Hashem wants to make sure that we know that the numerical value of doing a mitzvah can never be changed. But more than that, it connects to the next pasuk. And the next pasuk is Ki yakum b'kirbecha navi. If there happens to be a yakum b'kirbecha in your midst, a navi, a prophet, like, what's the reason? Why did he yakum b'kirbecha? Doesn't say. He says maybe it's something that he thought it would be good for him to do. He would become a navi, or he would attach himself in some way to what God wanted. I mean, it's like, in any event, the pasuk doesn't help us. The pasuk doesn't help us to understand why there is a Navi. Ki yakum b'kirbecha Navi. Oh, cholem chalom, somebody who dreams a dream. I guess a person who dreams a dream is like a Navi. I mean, that's the intention, even though I don't know exactly what the difference between a Navi and a Cholem Chalom is. But I would say that they both have, or each of them has a special connection to God, right? And you know that all kinds of people can become Nevi'im. We know that from Bilam. Bilam was certainly not the best of people, and not somebody that we admire, and yet he was a true prophet. Whatever the rationale might be, there was prophecy in the world that didn't connect to Am Yisrael. In fact, it tried to destroy Am Yisrael. And then it says, "V'natan eilecha otam mofet," and then this Navi does something miraculous. He does something miraculous. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, "V'natan eilecha ot." Ot, he says, the word ot, which is a miracle, that's bashamayim. Ot in, from heaven. Ba'aretz, I'm sorry, ot bashamayim. Kinyan shenemar b'Gidon. This is what we learned with Gidon. Gidon was also became a Navi. And in the Pasuk in Shoftim, Vasita li ot, it says, you'll do for me or make for me a sign. Va'omer yina chorev el hagiza. That the giza, the wool that he puts into the, that's on the ground, it'll be dry. It won't be affected by the dew. Omofet. Oath is something that comes down from heaven. Mofet ba'aretz, avo pichein, lo tishmalo. Avo pichein, lo tishmalo. So we see that in spite of the fact that he does this miracle, don't listen to him. Don't listen to whatever he has to say. Ki, it says, V'natan eilecha ot mofet, right, the miracle works. Uba ha'ot v'mofet, it happens. Asher diber eilecha de'mor. But then he said, this Navi said, like Bilam wanted to say, Nelcha achre Elohim acherim asher lo yidata menavdein. Let's go and follow other gods Asher lo yidatam, you didn't know them, you didn't know about them. It's a new thing. I'm here, the Navi, I'm here to tell you these things. Right? Asher lo yidatam. Asher lo yidatam. One second. Right. Pasuke. Acharei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu. You follow God. You follow God. Ve oto tira'u, and you should fear him. Ve'et mitzvotav tishmoru, uvekolo tishma'u, and listen to his voice. Ve'oto ta'avdu, and serve him. Ubo tidbakun, which I think is a is an important phrase that comes at the end of this, at the end of this pasuk. Rashi says, "Vet mitzvotav tishmoru," et mitzvot Torah Moshe. That's like the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Har Sinai. We could say Torah shebichtav, uvekolo tishma'u bikol hanevi'im. Right, you should listen to the nevi'im, to the proper nevi'im. Voto ta'avodu, and serve God b'mikdasho, in his temple. Uvod didbakun adbeik b'derachav kmo chasadim kivor meitim baker cholim kimo she'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo tidbakun. So Rashi in an anti-anthropomorphic kind of statement. So what does cleaving to God mean? God is not there to be cleaved at. So Rashi says, bo tidbakun hadbeik bidrachav. That's Rashi. I want you to glue yourself to the ways of God. What are the ways of God? What are the ways? Well, there's a list. Kimol chasadim, do chesed. Kvor meitim, bury the dead, have no one to bury them. Baker cholim, visit the sick. Kimol she'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because God himself, so to speak, did all of these things. God did all of these things, and that sort of gave us a hint as to what we were supposed to do. So what is the parsha telling us? The parsha telling us is that there's a root obligation that we have to the Torah. And while it's true that individuals, might have some special kind of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we would call that special kind of relationship Navi or Nevuah, prophecy, or Cholem Chalom, or dreaming, dreamers. He says we would call it, we would give it a name, and we name it Nevuah, but it is possible for the Nevuah to corrupt itself, to be less than it should be. Because that's the nature of Nevuah. The nature of Nevuah is that you can't always understand, and the Navi himself can't always understand, what the message that God wants him to impart is. So that basically, I think it would be reasonable to say that according to the pasuk, according to the psukim that we've just learned, the Torah doesn't want us, the Torah doesn't want us to give too much authority, too much concern, too much relevance to the words of the Navi. If they deviate at all, if they deviate at all from the words of the Torah. So we go back to the first pasuk. First pasuk, we remember that lo tosef alav lo tigra mimenu. Right? That's what the Torah what the Torah says. That's our obligation. Our obligation is to keep the Torah in a perfect manner. And that obligation overwhelms the Navi. And so if the Navi says something that could be understood as Tosefa love or Tigrami many, add to it or subtract from it. So if that's the case, then the Navi is not of no importance. Navi is no importance. I mean, we've learned that already. We've learned that from Bil'am, that prophecy was not something that was limited to Am Yisrael. On the other hand, we've also learned that prophecy is sometimes confusing. And it's hard to know in an obvious way, what our obligation is to the prophecy of the prophet. And here we're talking about the prophet who brought us a sign, who actually induced a miracle. I mean, that's, as we've said in the past, I mean, where did Paro get the strength to keep saying no to Moshe Rabbeinu and to watch his countrymen die and his economy wrecked? How did he do that? So we know that at the very beginning, Paro had wizards who were able to imitate what Moshe Rabbeinu did. They could throw down a staff and it would turn into a snake, or they picked up the snake and it turned back into a staff. So Paro said to himself, well, it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu is a powerful magician. But we probably, if we look harder, will find somebody just as powerful and will be able to take away the power from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Paro. I mean, once you believe that something is possible, that it doesn't matter if it happened or not. And so it's possible to believe all kinds of things, even in the face of God, or in this case, in the face of the Torah. It's possible. And so that's what the Torah says, that even prophecy, and you know that the Gemara says, about Hananya ben Azur. Hananya ben Azur is the name of a prophet who lived at the same time as Yirmiyahu Navi. You know, Yirmiyahu, if you recently thought about this, some of these things on Tisha B'Av, Hananya ben Azur, and they were Yirmiyahu Navi. So Yirmiyahu said to Bnei Yisrael, you know, you're going to exile. You're going to go into exile and it's going to be sad, and it will be 50 years before anybody comes back. Hananya ben Azur said, okay, you're going to exile, but you'll be back in 2 years. It's not a big deal. Hananya ben Azur, he said, you know, you'll be punished. God will punish you, as Yirmiyahu said, but it's not going to be that bad. It'll be like taking a little tour and coming back after the tour. After the tour is over. So the Gemara asks, why did anybody listen to Hananya ben Azur? I mean, Yirmiyahu HaNavi was a prophet in Yehuda for 40 years. 40 years he said the same thing over and over again. And here you see it's actually coming true. It's happening. It's happening. So why do people listen to Hananya ben Azur? I mean, who is he? Even as a funny name. So the answer that the Gemara gave was this, that Hananya ben Azur was a true prophet. He was a true prophet. He was a special person. He had special ideas. He had messages to give B'nai Yisrael. He was probably on the side of Yirmiyahu HaNavi all those years, and then something happened. And he lost it, or he gained it. And Hananiah ben Azur became a false prophet. But a false prophet means that he was probably previously a true prophet. Because why would anybody listen to a false prophet? Why would anybody listen to a prophet who couldn't produce a miracle? Why would anybody listen to a prophet who said things against the Torah or against true prophecy? So the answer of the Gemara is that that prophet, Hananiah ben Azur, he was a true prophet until he ended his true prophetic reign. So that prophecy, we see from the examples of Bilam and Hananiah ben Azur, well, not to talk about Eliyahu HaNavi, who was certainly a true prophet, but who did something against the Torah. You remember, Eliyahu HaNavi, he gave a sacrifice on the Carmel, on Har Carmel in Haifa, near Haifa. Because he knew that Bnei Yisrael needed that in that area, needed him to come and show them that the God of the Baal and the God of our God were not on the same page, that you couldn't worship both. There was no way for Eliyahu HaNavi to do that unless he did it in the Carmel, in that area. And in spite of the fact that the halacha is that you can't bring a sacrifice outside of Yerushalayim once Yerushalayim is built and the Beit HaMikdash is established, you can't bring a korban, you can't bring a sacrifice in outside of the Beit HaMikdash. Eliyahu HaNavi said, there's no other way possible for me to make this point, for me to drive home the idea that God is interested in our sacrifices, but not interested in the Baal, in that other sacrifice. And so he did it. And the Gemara says that from that we learn that a Hora'at Sha'a is special, that you could have a ruling that's given at a particular time, at a particular moment, and that ruling wins out. That ruling wins out. So according to Rashi, getting back to Rashi, Botid Bakun is anti-anthropomorphic. Right? That's us. We have to be Botid Bakum. How do we do that? We do mitzvot that we were directed to do. But the mitzvot that you kind of could get out of. You could always get out of these Botid Bakum mitzvot, which Rashi mentions. Yeah. Gemul chasadim. You do chesed. I mean, you know. Nobody knows what the definition of chesed is in a particular moment, but we try. Kvar meitim, help out to, you know, you could say, I wasn't there, I didn't know. Biker cholim, to visit the sick. I didn't know you were sick. I didn't know you were in the hospital. All of these things. Kemosh asah Kadosh Baruch Hu, why is that true? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell you to do, show you all these things? Because it's quite clear that you can get away with it. You can do things and not do things, but according to some other drum that is beating. Les pasuk vav Navi Ahu Ocholei Machalom Ahu Yumat, and that Navi should be killed. Kidiber Sara Hashem Elokim. They spoke poorly about God. Mitzrayim, for whom we have to thank God for taking us out of Mitzrayim all the time. And redeemed us from the house of slavery. So that's the prophet. He wanted to change you, put you away, change you from Hashem Tziva Hashem Elokecha. By killing him, by exercising capital punishment, you're defending this idea. So we're talking about a situation where there are prophets in the world. Some Jews are prophets, some non-Jews are prophets. And the only way, ultimately, to test the prophecy of the prophet is if the prophecy of the prophet tells you to support the Torah, or the prophecy of the prophet tells you to reject the Torah. Now, like 1,000 years later, the Rambam was sort of like giving us direction. I have here a very long Ramban, which I would have liked to learn a little bit, but I don't think we'll have time. But we will, 1 second, we'll learn the Rambam. Here we are. Okay. The Rambam starts in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, with these words, Miyisodei HaDat. The foundation of our religion. And he's going to tell me something very important. Leida. Everybody should know. Sha'el menabei et b'nei ha'adam. That God produces prophets. Akel menabei et b'nei adam. God turns people into prophets. And only God can do that. Only God can turn a person into a prophet. So why is that me so they are not? Like the contrary. It sounds like something that used to be, but doesn't happen anymore. But no, according to the Rambam, the world is a world in which an encounter with God is certainly possible. Certainly possible. And certainly we can have the faith that it has to, that we need in order to believe that it might happen. So that's why it's miyisodei hadat, because it tells me about the world I live in and tells me what it is that I can accomplish. And so if I had to choose a pasuk that this idea is based on, I would choose that pasuk that we just learned. Right, the pasuk that we just learned, which ends with the words "Uba Tid Bakun," cleave to God. So, what do we cleave to God? Who's cleaving? The Navi, Minabeit B'nei Adam. We should not be surprised if somebody shows up and says that he's a prophet. Ve'en ha'nevuah chala, ein ha'nevuah chala. So there are people who are candidates for nivuah, for prophecy, and there are people who are not candidates for prophecy. El al chacham gadol. If you're very clever, you know a lot of Torah. Gadol b'chokhma, gibor b'midotav, having outstanding midot. V'lo yeh yitzro megaber alav b'davar me'olam, and he doesn't succumb to the desires of his inclinations or his inclinations, but davar sheba'olam elohu mitgaber v'da'ato al yitzro. He's a kind of person who is always under control, right? Tamid. He has kind of wide understanding and knowledge. So you have to have prerequisites according to the Rambam. Not everybody, I mean, some people could be chosen to be prophets, but they would have to have these prerequisites. So a person's a chacham, but he's not a gibor, so that's not good enough. According to the Rambam, Adam shu mimula b'chol amidot ha'elu, a person who is filled with all of these character traits, shalem b'gufo, somebody who is healthy, physically healthy, sheikanes lepardes v'yimashech ba'otan ha'inyanim agidolim arechokim. When he goes into the pardes, pardes is a word that is used by non-Kabbalists and by Kabbalists. Deeper meaning, greater understanding. Pardes is sometimes taken as an acronym for Pshat, Remesh, Drash, and so the four different ways of looking at the text of the Torah. Yikanes lepardes, when he finishes all the other learning that you're supposed to do, right? Like that story that Rav Nosson, the student of Rav Nachman, the great student of Rav Nachman, he was a great scholar. And he produced in writing most of the things that Rav Nachman wrote, said. So he came, before Rav Nachman died, Rav Nosson, who was his devoted student, he came to him and he said, "How can I? I would like to write a Torah on my own. I'd like to write something on my own that is similar to what you write, Rebbe, but I won't do it if you don't, unless you give me permission." So it was Erev Pesach when I went to ask the Rav Nachman to get permission. So Rav Nachman's answer to me was, "Okay, you could do it, but before you do it, I want you to review all of Shas, Torah Shevichtav, all the written Torah, the Torah, the oral law and the Gemara and the Yerushalmi and all the books of Kabbalah." Huh? So Rav Nosson said, okay. And then he tells the story, he continues the story. He says, "So then when I finished, it was Erev Shavuos, so I went back to the Rebbe and I asked him if I could write a Torah. And he said, yes." So that means all those things that he was supposed to learn, a review, he did between Pesach and Shavuos. Pretty remarkable. So there are people who have remarkable ability to kind of learn material and keep themselves aware of it. And he'll be pulled into all these deep thinking, deep thoughts. He says that he has the ability to understand, to achieve. V'hu mitkadesh v'holech. He, this person who's going to become a prophet, he becomes holier and holier, right? Holier and holier, and he separates himself from the community. They go in the dark, they think about the things that at that time were developed to keep you kind of like just confused about things. V'holechu mizareis atzmo, he goes and he encourages himself. U'melamed nafsho, and he teaches his soul, shelot yelo machshava klal, bechad midvarim b'teilim, and he teaches himself not to think about dvarim b'teilim, but foolishness, things that have no meaning. V'lo mehavle hazman, and he doesn't spend time on the narishkeit of our generation, v'takbulotav, and the confusions of our generation, dato, Ella. You see here that word Ella? Dato pnuya tamid, his mind is always ready to accept limala, tamid limala, pshura tachat hakisei. Right? He's always ready to connect himself with the throne. The throne of God's presence, lahavin ba'otan atzurot akidoshot atahorot, and to understand, lahavin ba'otan atzurot akidoshot, those sacred formulations, atahorot, the pure, u'mistakel b'chochma shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's always understanding and looking at and thinking about chochma shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu kula mitzura rishona ad tabur ha'aretz, from the very first, for the very beginning of creation, ad tabur ha'aretz, until the tabur, the belly button of the world, v'yodea mahen gadlu. Mahen gadlu, he understands something about the greatness of the world. Miyad, miyad, ruach hakodesh, miyad, ruach hakodesh shorei alav. So the scholars have wondered about this statement, miyad, ruach hakodesh shorei alav, like who's in charge? Is the candidate in charge of becoming a Navi, or is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in charge? I think that the simple pshat in the Rambam is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. But what the Rambam added to our understanding of prophecy were two things. One is that it's an option that's available, because anybody can undertake the trip. Anybody can undertake to become a Navi. And whether you become a Navi or not, it's only to your advantage. It's all to your advantage. Secondly, the Rambam rejuvenated the idea that a Navi is a good thing. As we might have had the impression from reading the Psukim with Rashi that Nevuah was something like a burden. It just causes trouble. It produces people who are against the Torah. But no, the Rambam wants us to understand that Nevuah is the word that describes spiritual achievement. And therefore, Botit Bakun, the Rambam was, after all, a Rambamist. He thought that reality was that what you thought about it, what you understood about it, that religiosity was the way you served God. That was the Rambam. And so the Rambam felt that there was a place for prophecy for all of us. There was a place for prophecy in the world, and we should aspire towards it and not simply beware to usurp it from our world. And so you see that according to the Rambam, prophecy is what you make of it. Even though the Rambam doesn't say that here, but he says it elsewhere, that The prophecy of Bilaam. Prophecy of Bilaam was real. And the prophecy of the Chartumim, of the magicians in Mitzrayim, that was real. But none of them was able to compete with the Rambam's idea of a prophet. The Rambam said, we need prophecy. We need prophecy because it's the great enabler and makes it possible. Yes, makes it possible for us to achieve spiritual energy, to be special, not just to repeat the mitzvot, not just to do what we're supposed to do and to avoid doing what we're not supposed to do, but to both hidbakun, there's a path that brings us closer to God, which enables us to connect somehow to God. And that path is called Nivua, prophecy. Next week, I don't think I'll be able to give a shiur. I have a granddaughter who's getting married, and they told me that I have to attend. So sometimes I listen. All the best. Have a good week. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.